Matthew chapter 17. I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, seven things true about the man that God uses. And I hope that you will let the Lord speak to your heart from this message. You have a tremendous pastor and a tremendous staff. I thank God for Brother Cole and for his family. I thank God for Brother Seth and others of you that work to make this church the successful ministry that it is. And I just appreciate this church so very, very much. I mean that from the very bottom of my heart. And I appreciate the singing. I tell you what, the orchestra, the playing of the instruments, all of that, tremendous, good. I don't know what those were exactly that you were playing individually up here. What were those, Brother Seth? Chimes. That sounded, but I've never seen anybody play chimes all like that, you know. Amen. Usually they have a whole in one board, right? Hand chimes. Got it. See, now I'm smarter. Amen. 74 years old, I've learned. I'd seen those before, never knew what to call them, see. But I appreciate all the special music this morning. It's good. Thank God for my wife. She travels with me. And she's definitely the better half of this team. Amen. Say amen, honey. There you go. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 17. Let's stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. I want to read verses 24 through 27. It says, "And when they were come to Capernaum," that is Jesus, those traveling with him, "they that received tribute or tax money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, Yes." Boy, when the tax folk are after you, you want the right answer. Amen. "And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. That taken given to them for me and thee." And the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of the word. Father, we pray that you'd help us today to see clearly and plainly the message that you have for us. I pray that you'd help me to say exactly what you want said, nothing more, nothing less. And I pray that you'd help the people today to profit from this time together. And we'll praise you and thank you for what you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Pardon me. Seven things true about the man or the individual that God uses. I find Simon Peter here. He's being used of the Lord. On this particular occasion, there is a miracle about to be performed. He's going to be in the middle of it. And God's going to use him in the performance of this miracle. Simon Peter has a need, as we'll see in just a moment. And here he is willing to be used of the Lord to meet the Lord's need. And in the process, God uses Simon Peter to meet Simon Peter's need. You know, time and again, we talk about giving to missions. And we have all kind of different excuses, you know. Lord, I can't give, you know. I can't do this. We've got all these different things we're trying to take care of, the bases we're trying to keep covered. But I'm going to tell you, folks, listen, tithing, giving tithes and offerings, giving to missions, going above your regular tithes and offerings for the church here, listen, that's one of the greatest blessings that you'll ever encounter. And it's not going to butter my bread any of me saying that, not at all. It's a privilege. It's an honor to God. And I find this in the book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. There's a principle that I find, and if you're not a Christian, and at least a somewhat mature Christian, you may not can identify with this, but Luke 6:38 says about this matter of giving. It says, "Give, and it," that is what you give, "shall be given unto you. Good measure," you don't have to worry about being cheated, "good measure, pressed down," you know, it's just going to be packed in, what's given to you, "shaken together." Sometimes you get more in a container by shaking than you can packing. But he said, "shaken together and running over." Spilling over the top, more than just barely enough. And then he tells us how it'll come. He said, shall men give, and notice where, into your bosom. That's where your heart's at. The increase God gives is without the addition of sorrow thereto. So he said, given it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it, that measure, in other words, it shall be measured unto you. Someone said years ago, if we give with a spoon, God will give back with a spoon. His spoon will be larger. If we give with a cup, God will give back with a cup. His cup will be larger. I wonder what will happen if we give with a shovel. Amen. A fellow named R.G. Letourneau was very wealthy. Started out as a salaried tractor driver years ago, working south of Vicksburg, Mississippi, helping to level what is now known as the Mississippi Delta bottomland. He was a salaried tractor driver. Sitting in a missionary conference, Missionary Alliance meeting, back in 1924, he heard about the principle of faith promise giving and was challenged to make a significant offering unto the Lord. Single man, God spoke to him and challenged him to give $5,000 in that coming year. He said, Lord, I don't have that kind of money. He didn't even make $5,000 for a year. But he said, Lord, if you'll provide it, I'll give it. So the Lord spoke to his heart, gave him an idea about going and rather than driving just for, you know, a tractor for a salary, to go and rent lease a tractor and a grader and to contract to level this bottom land. And God blessed him in that, and he made $5,000 and gave that to missions. The Lord said, do it again next year. And he did, and the next year, and he did. He gets married in the meantime. Him and his new bride was living in an old iron wheel wagon cook shack. And they were living close to where they was working. All this dust and everything flying from those tractors with him and other men that's working. And she said, times when I mopped the floor, I just moved the dirt around. But listen, God honored him, began giving him ideas how to improve the equipment, ended up with him having a heavy industrial manufacturing complex, manufacturing earth-moving machines. God blessed that. He continued giving more. Finally, with five of those large manufacturing complexes, manufacturing earth-moving equipment, the R.G. Letourneau Foundation, he was giving 90% of his income to missions and the Lord's work and living off the 10%. There's a book concerning his life, autobiography. You'll do well to get it and read it if you can find it. It's probably out of print now. But not long before his death, he was overheard in his private study praying on his knees. And he said, Lord, you've blessed me with so much. He said, God, you've helped me with so many problems that I've had. He said, Father, I've got another problem. I need your help with it. He said, would you not please give me additional wisdom to know what to do with the interest and the 10% of the interest, give me the wisdom on what to do with the interest off of this 10% that you've left over from me. He said, I really need your help. Pleasant problem, amen. His brother-in-law said to him one day, said, R.G. said, you just shovel out and give away everything you had. And R.G. Letourneau smiled, looked back, and he said, Bob, he said, you're right. But he said, God shoveled it back, and he said, he's got a bigger shovel than I have. I want to give you seven things that's true about the man that God uses. If he uses you here in teaching a Sunday school class, uses you as a missionary, uses you as a singer, uses you as a preacher, in whatever way God might see fit to use you in a special way, I believe these seven things are true. And by the way, you don't start at the top. You start right where you are. And if you'll be faithful, God will honor you. Let me give you those things. Number one, the man that God uses is saved, born again. You've come to Jesus. as your personal Savior. This is true about Peter. You see, Jesus came first to Andrew. Andrew, when he met Jesus, went immediately, John chapter 1, verse 41, and he found his brother Peter, and he said, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought Peter to Jesus. I'm going to ask you, have you ever come to Jesus and accepted him as your personal Savior? Second thing that God is true about the man God uses is that person is involved. We don't get saved to just kind of warm the seat we sit on. We get saved to serve. We're saved to glorify the Lord. We're saved to pass the message on that we found out about. Somebody said it's like one beggar that's found bread and you go and tell other beggars how to find it, where you found it, how to get it. Amen. Simon Peter got involved. You remember in the book of Mark, Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, also the book of Luke chapter 5, verse 1 through 11, Simon Peter was cleaning his nets, had two ships, three partners, four of them in business together, and they'd toiled all night long, hadn't caught any fish. Fisherman by trade. And he looks up, he sees a crowd coming, and sure enough, nobody but Jesus drew a crowd like that. And to Peter's, no doubt, amazement, Jesus walked over to where Peter's boat was, said to Peter, he said, "Launch out and launch out a little ways from the shore." And Simon Peter had to make a decision. See, he's cleaning his nets, hadn't caught any fish, got a fish again the next night, getting ready for that. He could have said, "Hey, Andrew or James or John, would you fellas here take care of the Lord? I can't turn this loose what I'm doing." He didn't do that. He got involved. He did exactly what Jesus said. Didn't seem like a great big thing. He launched out a little way from the shore, this massive crowd of people that always gathered around the Lord. Jesus used Simon Peter's boat to teach those people. And when he'd finished teaching them, he gave Peter something of a little, I guess you'd call it an object lesson, and that is that he'll never use our little boats or ships, cars or anything else without more than adequate repayment. He said to Peter, he said, "Launch out in the deep and let down your nets for a draught." You don't normally fish out in the deep. You fish around pretty close to the shore. Peter said, "Lord, all night long we've toiled and taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word we will." And if you read in the book of Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, you'll find that Peter did not let down the nets, plural, as Jesus said. He let down one net in complete obedience. When he went to draw that net, it had so many fish in it, they could not draw it. The net began to break. And so they unloaded, they pulled it up. I know there's much about commercial fishing. In that case, you pull the net up where you can start unloading out of the top of the net, pull it on up higher as the net gets lighter. And they offloaded out of that net into the ship until the ship was beginning to sink, getting too low in the water. He beckoned, "Bring the other ship. Bring!" And they brought the second ship, and they loaded into that ship, and loaded into that ship until it began to sink. By this time, Simon Peter's putting two and two together, and it's coming up with about 50, not four. And he's thinking to himself, "I'm taking the fish out of the top. He's multiplying them in the bottom. That net is not that big. Something miraculous is going on." He fell down before the Lord and said, "Lord, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man." And I kind of wonder if Jesus didn't smile when he said this. He said, "Peter, fear not. From henceforth thou shalt catch men. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Could I say to you this morning, that same clarion call is going out, and it's going out to you this morning. Follow me, Jesus says. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. I'll give you all the necessary instruction. I'll take care of all the necessary details. I'll make you fishers of men. And the Bible says they brought the ships to land, and immediately they forsook all and followed Jesus. That tells me they had a greater vision for the worth and value of souls than they did for the money those fish would have brought. They saw it as urgent. They saw it as a clear call that we're to do this immediately. Don't fool. Can you imagine what that place must have smelled like a few days after that, all those fish and those two ships? They just followed Jesus. So they got involved. Notice the next thing. Simon Peter's concern. They come and said, doth not your master pay taxes? Peter could have said, hey, wait a minute. Financial question, right? They said, well, you better know it's a financial question. He could have said, I am not the treasurer. You see this fellow right over here? And he would have pointed to Judas Iscariot. He's the treasurer. He carries the money bag. He handles all the financial issues pertaining to our group. You go see him. No concern of mine. But he didn't have that attitude. His attitude was what every Christian's attitude ought to be concerning the work of God. That is, if it's a problem concerning Jesus, a problem concerning this ministry, it's a problem that I want to help with if I can. Peter goes to Jesus, and he's going to tell him, hey, Lord, the IRS is after us. We're going to be audited. Lord, help! And before Peter can even finish what he's saying, the Bible says Jesus prevented him. That is, Jesus stopped him. And he knew about the problem before Peter even laid it out. He said, what think you, Simon? Don't you think with me on this? What think you, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth receive custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? And the natural answer is this. If a king, you know, if they got to build better roads, better bridges, you know, have a better army, he doesn't go in the castle and say to his siblings, all right, John, Joe, Susie, Jim, Ella, let's ante up. We got to build some better bridges and build some better roads throughout our king. He doesn't do that. He goes outside his palace and he taxes strangers. And Peter answered in the same manner. Why did Jesus ask that question? Because Jesus is the incarnate Son of God who owned the kingdom, owned the temple, owned the purpose for these taxes. And Jesus is saying, in effect, I don't owe these taxes. But he said, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them. He's saying, in effect, they will not understand this truth because they don't know who I am. He said, simple matter. He said, go thou to the sea. And that brings us to the next thing. The individual that God uses is available. They're available. He didn't say, Peter, send somebody to the sea. In other words, go by proxy. He said, go thou to the sea. And cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that taken and given to them from me and for thee. You know, so many times we miss out on blessings because we are not available to do simple things. Amen. I remember my first pastor. We had a dear lady. I encouraged our people to give us names to visit. And I said, I don't want names of just people in general. I want names of people you're working on. You wouldn't believe some of the names I got. Amen? But I tried to be faithful at them, tried to visit them. Had one lady in particular brought me names. But you know what? The first time I gave her some names, she quit bringing me names. That's strange. She looked at those names that I had, and I'm not going to tell you one particular experience that I had, but for the sake of time, but she looked at these names. She said, I don't know these people. I had the name she'd given me. I said, I don't know these folk, but I'll get acquainted with them. She said, I don't know where these folk live. I said, I don't know where these live, but I'll find them. She never gave me any other names. Now, I encouraged our people to continue giving us names. And I continued visiting with them. But you know what this dear lady's problem was? She wasn't available. She's willing for everybody else, anybody else, to do the work, but don't ask me. See, listen, folks, it takes everybody working. I say again, a good, fine, wonderful church like this does not come about by just some folk ringing a bell and announcing, here's where it ought to be, and it all. Now, I wouldn't insult your intelligence by even suggesting that. It takes a lot of plain old hard work, hard studying on the pastor's part, hard studying on the part of the teachers and others that stand before you to teach. Brother Seth, all of the folk, I noticed one dear gentleman walking around, just busy as he could be, doing different things, passing out bulletins and so on. And folks playing these instruments, man, they got to practice and practice. You'd be amazed at what goes on to make a church like this function. Amazed. Takes everybody working at it. It kind of reminds me, when I was a kid, the other kids would ask me, what kind of toys did you get for Christmas? And I'm telling you time and again, it was a very, very short list. But I remember one year in particular, I got a beautiful red flyer wagon. Sure did, man. I mean, that thing had white wheels and black tires and red and white writing on the side of it. And I had a couple of kids ask me up the road, you know, and I told them about my wagon. Would you believe one of those kids showed up the very next week? He said, I want to see that wagon you got. I said, okay. I had it in the house, you know, take care of it. I brought it out. He said, can I sit in it? I said, sure. He sat down and he said, would you push me? I said, well, I guess. He said, you push me and I'll push you. Push me around the house. I pushed him around the house. He said, push me again. I said, man, it's my time. He said, you push me around two times, I'll push you around two times. I pushed him around two times. He said, push me around again. I pushed him around the third time. Same deal. Push me around three times, I'll push you. I pushed him around the house four times. And he wanted to go again. I said, my legs are too tired to push you again. You know, I'm just a little fella. I said, it's my time. You push me. He said, I got to go home. Did you know that kid grew up, got married, had a whole bunch of descendants, and they've spread out and joined Baptist churches all over America? You push, preacher. You push, Seth. You push, brother. You push. What about you pushing? Amen. Now, don't freeze up on me, amen. I kind of sensed a little cringing right there. Hey, it takes everybody. Is there somebody you could go and reach out to, maybe bring them to church? You hold the key to folk that maybe nobody else holds. Simon Peter is available. And notice this. He's instructed. He said, go thou to the sea. What's that going to do about helping this? I mean, last time I looked, money's not just floating around in the sea. Well, here's God involved. He said, go thou to the sea. And notice, he said, cast and hook. See, cast and hook. The Lord gives him instructions. And he said, take up the first fish that cometh up, and when you've opened his mouth, I shall find a piece of money. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? That's going to take care of the need. Come on, man. He said, when you've opened his mouth, you'll find a piece of money. He said, that take and given to them from me and for thee. That brings me to the next thing. Not only is Simon Peter instructed, but I believe he's seen enough already that he's now impressed. I can't help saying this. I sensed it this morning when Brother Seth was up here and a big smile on his face. Some of you folk are scratching your head and looking at some of us, and you think life is passing us by. We don't go out, we don't get drunk, we know we don't fight and fuss and, you know, knock one another in the head out in the beer joints and all. And, you know, a lot of us don't even go to movies, and you think, what have they got to be happy about? And they're smiling. And the thing that really gets under your skin is you see it as a sincere smile. Well, I'm going to tell you something. It reminds me of the big old palm tree, you know, and the little old scrub tree that grew up. And I mean, that little scrub tree popped up, looked like almost overnight. man, he's sipping the water and everything, but the old palm tree just waving in the breeze. This little old scrub tree said, one of these days I'm going to pass you, big boy. I'm growing 10 times faster than you are. And the palm tree said, just hang on. Time came when there was no water. It was a drought. That little scrub tree was choking. He said, man, I'm about to die. How can you keep waving and looking so happy? And the old palm tree said, I'm drawing water from wells you've never gotten close to. You wonder why we're happy? I like that song. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. You ask, where are they at? They're cast into the sea of forgetfulness, so far behind God's back, they'll never be remembered against us anymore. Amen. We have the joy of the Holy Spirit in our heart. Hey, listen. Simon Peter is impressed. I think I'd have been impressed. Amen. Go to the sea. Cast up. First fish. The first one that comes up. Not going to be the second one, third one, fourth one. He said the first one. You know what that means? There might have been 5 million or 5 billion fish in that sea. God's going to be in control. Not a single one of them is going to get on that hook until the right one gets on it. He's in control of the fish. How'd that fish get that money in his mouth? Might have been somebody who said, preacher, preach on money all the time. He's going to get this. I'm going to buy me a brand new Sevco 707. And out there fishing, you know. And he flips that gold coin up, and it goes over the side. This old fish says, boy, I'll tell you what, I'm hungry today. And normally a fish, when he gets something in his mouth, you know, if he can get his mouth wide open wide enough to get it in, he can get his mouth wide open enough to spit it back out. But that fish couldn't. I can see that fish going through, you know, just every kind of contortion trying to get that. He couldn't get it out of his mouth. Reminds me of some dear folk that hear the word of God. And I say it in love. And you can't swallow it. And you can't spit it out. And you can't swallow it. And you can't spit it out. Why don't you just let the Lord say, Lord, I'm going to humble my heart. If you're trying to tell me something about this, would you please show me? And I accept it. And then the last thing, and we'll close. The man that God uses, the individual that he uses, not only saved, involved, concerned, available, instructed, impressed, but the individual that God uses is tangibly blessed. Did you hear that? They're tangibly blessed. Jesus said, you open his mouth, you find a piece of money, that taken given to them from me, and what's the last two words? And thee. In other words, Simon Peter is willing to be used to meet the Lord's need, but while he's being used to meet the Lord's need, the Lord miraculously helps him in meeting that need, but adds extra to meet Simon Peter's need. Did you get that? God adds extra to meet Simon Peter's need. We ask you to pray about giving to missions. Maybe God's nudging somebody to increase your mission giving. Maybe the Lord's nudging somebody to just get back on track and be faithful with it. But I'm going to tell you, folks, as we're being used to meet the Lord's need, he somehow drops some handfuls on purpose that makes it possible for our need to be met in the process. Amen? How many of us have seen that? Amen? Haven't we all? Amen. So what would the Lord have you to do today? Is there one of these areas where you said, preacher, I followed you all the way down the line, but on this matter of getting involved, I can't say that I'm there. Could I encourage you to get involved? Somebody else might say, well, preacher, I'm involved, but that instruction that God's giving me right now for that next level, I can't say that I've gone there. I've stopped. Nothing short of complete obedience will let us see God's glory. Wondrous glory. to the fulfillment of what God desires and designs for us in our lives. Could we stand, please? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe one here this morning unsaved. If so, would you please slip your hand up and say, "Pastor, pray for me. I do not know the Lord as my Savior." We'll not come to you. We'll not embarrass you in any way and not impersonate you. We'll be kind, but I would like to pray for you. Is there one to slip your hand up, please? Here's your one. Second question. I wonder if there are those here this morning who would lift your hand and say, "Pastor, I'm involved. I'm serving the Lord." But there's one of the points you dealt with this morning that I'm not all the way on that one. Pray for me. Would you slip your hand up, please? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. A number of hands. God bless you. God bless you. Let me ask one other question. Maybe there's one or more this morning. You'd slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, God's speaking to me about being a missionary. Pray for me." Would you slip your hand up, please? As of yet, I haven't acknowledged it, but God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Are there others? God bless you. Amen. Thank you. God bless you. Let's pray. Pastor Seth, you come, please. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray, dear Lord, from the bottom of my heart that you'd help these dear ones. I love these folk, Lord. I thank you for this congregation. I thank you, Lord, that I sense the presence of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit bears witness with my heart that I'm among people that know you and love you and serve you. But, Lord, my heart goes out because I also sense there are some, Lord, that are struggling with some areas in their life that they need to bring to you this morning. Help them to come, Lord. And I pray that you'd glorify your name, Lord, by all of us, Father, not stopping one whit short of exactly what you're indicating for us to do. But, Lord, help us to follow through. And, oh, God, to be faithful to see the end of what you have for us, God. We've tasted, Lord, that you're gracious and good. And the end, Lord, that you have designed for us is just as precious as any step that we've ever had from the beginning on. In Jesus' name, help us to obey you. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask our sister to begin playing softly. Those of you who lifted your hand, if God's nudging your heart, why don't you slip out, come and kneel in this old-fashioned altar.